Father John O'Connor to come speak about this sermon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
It's great to be here. Thank you, and thank you for the invitation. My name is John O'Connor. I am, as I've been introduced, a diocesan priest, like Jesus. And I want to share a few thoughts about discernment. One of the difficulties that we have when we think about discernment is that we think about it as decision-making with God. So if I were to ask you to talk about the difference between discernment and decision-making, I wonder what you would say, because for most people there's not really a difference, except we think that discernment is the holy word for decision-making. And then we do this thing when we're discerning. It's kind of like, it reminds me of the prayer at the beginning of a parish council meeting. If you ask someone to begin the meeting with a prayer, they might begin by saying something like, and I'm going to exaggerate this for effect, they might say, Lord, we pray that you will come down and help us with the discussions that we have and the decisions that we take, so that the decisions that we make will be in accordance with your will for us. And then at the end of the meeting, and I will exaggerate again for effect, we pray something like, Lord, thank you very much for coming down from your faraway heaven to help us for this hour. It's been nice having you here. Goodbye. When you listen to prayers that are prayed at the beginning and end of meetings, that's often the sense that you get from the prayer. The problem with this kind of prayer is it's heresy, because God is not far away. Remember the song years ago, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. Not true. The Word became flesh and dwells among us today. And what we need to pray at the beginning of our meetings is something like, Lord, we sleep so much. Our eyes are closed, our ears are closed. We forget the fact that you are with us constantly in every moment, nudging us to live more fully. Wake us up to the fact that you are already in every moment present with us. And at the end of the meeting, we certainly don't farewell the Lord. Thanks for coming, goodbye. Lord, thank you for being with us. Thank you for the fact that you're always with us and you will stay with us. This is a fundamental point for discernment. Because most often when people come to me to talk about discernment, they might say, well, I need to chat to someone. Can I come and see you? Because I'm discerning this decision. I notice a couple of things. The first is, it's a big decision. They're discerning, will they marry this person or not? Or will they take this next step of study or that career? These are big decisions. And normally when they begin to speak about it, they've got it down to just two options. Now, if they are really serious about discerning what I would call a vocational way of living, the first thing that the Holy Spirit will do is take our two options and make them 10. And we think we're going backwards, because finally we got it from all of the possibilities down to just two options. And now it's getting, I'm talking to this person about it and it's getting more confusing. Now there's a dozen options. We think we're going backwards. But this is an essential step of discernment. Because right at the heart of discernment is the fact that God wants us to live fully and freely and happily. And very often we've got such narrow ideas about what we want to do. And we also think, this is one of our narrow ideas, that discernment is something that you do about the big decisions. How many times have you discerned today already? Hopefully it's dozens. See, discernment is not what we do when we've got a big decision to make. Discernment is a way of living. I'd say even more, if something's a way of living, let's say that discernment is a way of breathing. And we are breathing every moment. The person who is a discerning person is not someone who calls on the help of God every now and then to make a decision. The person who's a discerning person, who has as their deepest desire the desire to live in relationship with God every moment, in relationship with Jesus Christ every moment. I've been reading in the last couple of days a book that's just become available. The great thing about Kindle is you can get the newly published books immediately, and I'm pretty impatient. So I've started reading this biography of an Italian priest who lived 60 years ago. And the first quotation from this priest that he wrote just after his ordination when he was 24 is this. This is right in the first sentence of the book. He writes, "The greatest joy in life is to feel Jesus Christ alive and beating in the flesh of your own thought and your own heart. The greatest joy in life is to feel Jesus Christ alive and beating in the flesh of your own thought and your own heart." And then this priest, Luigi Giussani, goes on to say, "All the rest is swift illusion or dung. All the rest is swift illusion or dung." There's really only one important thing, and that's to live not just big decisions, but every moment aware of the presence and action of Christ with us. And the person who is living in that way is a discerning person. Just to say a word about my, as I would say, my discernment of priesthood, I had this sense that I was called to priesthood. I don't know how else I can put it. It was a deep sense. I'd have to say, too, it was attraction. And I believe that one of the main ways that God leads us in discernment, and this is for all of the decisions every day, all of the moments every day, is through attraction. And I had this sense in my last years at school and then for the months that I was working that I had this attraction to priesthood. But if I reduced it to looking at, well, what work do different groups of priests do, I was attracted to teaching. I liked the idea of teaching. I was taught by Marists who were great teachers, but I sort of knew that I wasn't called to be a Marist. And I liked the idea of doing retreat work. I'd seen Redemptorists come into the parish in Timaru and lead retreats, and I'd loved the thought of doing retreats, but I knew I wasn't called to be a Redemptorist. And I remember talking with Bishop Brian Ashby, and he said, "What kind of work would you like to do as a priest?" And I said to him, "Well, I'm asking if you'll have me as a diocesan priest." He said, "Oh, yeah, but, you know, what sort of work are you interested?" So I thought, well, here's my chance. And I said, "Well, I've liked the idea of teaching and I like the idea of retreats." And he laughed at me and said, "Well, you won't be doing any of that as one of my priests. You'll be in a parish." Now I find myself doing more teaching and retreats than anything else. And there are very few Marists teaching in schools in New Zealand now, and I think there are no Redemptorists doing retreats in New Zealand. So somehow God was seeing the big picture. You see, if we reduce, let's talk for a moment about discernment of life choices to particular work, we're probably not listening to the Lord at a deep enough level. One of the problems with discernment is that we have this idea that it is about following God's will. And that's 100% correct. But we often misunderstand what God's will is. We've got this idea that we have a will for our own lives, and then God has a will for us. And these two things are different because it's a test. It's as if we have to deny our own desires and hopes and dreams in order to follow what's communicated to us as God's will. How do we know if something's God's will? It'll seem hard, is the idea we've got in our head. So we've got this idea that God's will or God's way is a harder way to live. Now, without going into all the gory details, I've tried many different ways of living over my 56 or something years. Many of those ways have not been in harmony with what God created me for, and some of them, to the best of my knowledge, have been. So I can tell you from my experience of trying all of those kinds of ways that living the Christian life, desiring to live fully in harmony with Jesus Christ every moment, is the easiest way to live out of all of the other options. The Christian life is the easiest way to live. People say, oh, living as a Christian is hard, living as a Catholic is hard. Well, it's not easy, but it's the easiest of all of the other options. I still know a few people who spend their Friday and Saturday nights clubbing, often leaving families perhaps at home, and maybe no one knows they're there, but they're going out, and at the end of a night, they've met two or three different people and follow that track wherever you think it might go, but you're probably right. Their way of life every Friday and Saturday night looks like hard work to me. You see, living in harmony with Jesus is the easiest way to live, because it's in harmony with what we are made for. Therefore, the will of God is nothing other than that. The will of God is that every moment we live in relationship with Jesus Christ, whose heart vibrates in our own being, whose thoughts become our thoughts. You see, the will of God is not this distant thought. The will of God is planted in us at the moment of our creation. So another way of saying what is God's will for me is not just to listen to a distant voice from a cloud or a holy person. Sure, that holy person can speak the will of God for us. It's saying, what do I really want to do? And maybe that's not focused enough. So maybe the way to find the will of God is to say, what do I really, 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 really want to do? You see, what we do every time we add a really is get to a deeper level, and we become aware of, to use a wonderful term for the scriptures, our heart's desire. What do we desire in life? What do you want? I could say, well, right now I would love a short black. I would love a coffee right now. And the coffee cart doesn't arrive till this afternoon, but I'll survive. But what do I really want? Well, actually, I'd like some good company. And if there's coffee, that's okay, but it's really good company. What do I really, 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 really want? I want to be loved. I want someone, others, to love. What do I really, 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 really want? I want to be with Christ now and forever. See, when we're discerning, and this is why discernment is an every moment of every day thing, what we're discerning is what God has created us for. We're bringing our own often confused and disordered desires all over the place into harmony with something that's much deeper into us. It's built into us, our heart's desire. What's the starting point for this? And one of the mistakes we often make is, well, before I can really hear God's voice, and keep in mind when we're saying that, we're not listening for the distant voice from the cloud, we're kind of asking, Lord, what do I really, 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 really want? Keeping in mind that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. What's the starting point? Do we have to be living in accordance with God's will for us before we can start to discern? Do we have to be living in accordance with God's will for us, keeping the commandments, for example, before I start to discern? How many say yes? How many say no? How many haven't put their hand up yet? The answer's no, we don't. If we're breaking all of the commandments, we don't have to stop breaking them in order to begin discerning. If we were aware, and maybe no one else knows, that there's parts of our lives in which we're not really living how we think God wants us to live, and that the sin that we're struggling with and keeps on getting in the road, we don't have to get that sorted first. All we do is turn in the depth of our own hearts to Jesus. We're still and we're silent. Pope Francis gave us a wonderful quote yesterday at the 1st of January in his homily, the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God. He said, to set aside a moment of silence each day to be with God, this is what it means to keep our soul. It is to keep our freedom from being corroded by the banality of consumerism, the blare of commercials, the stream of empty words, in the overpowering waves of empty chatter and loud shouting. It's very good when we're trying to discern what I do this hour or what I do with my life that I talk to other people. But I must be discerning also about all of those other voices, because some of them are going to communicate to me what they think I should do based on their own fears and agendas. That's not going to help me all that much. But sure, we listen to them and then we discern. So, Lord, we've heard all the voices. We've heard what all the others say that you are. Who do you say that I am? Well, some say this, some say, but who do you say? What are you hearing of me in the depth of your own heart? And when we listen at that deeper level, we become aware of a God who is not calling us necessarily to go somewhere we're not, and is certainly not calling us to the hardest way, but is calling us to live in relationship. If you ask people, and I think of my broader family, my many cousins, almost all of whom were raised as Catholic, but I'm the one left going to church, they say, well, you only go to church because you have to, it's your job. I say, look, if I didn't feel a deep desire this, I wouldn't still be going to church. But almost all of them, when we go out for a drink, as we often do, they're great company, think that to be a Catholic is the hardest, saddest way to live. It puzzles them that I don't always seem hard, and sometimes they get a bit envious of what they see of my lifestyle. But this, the impression that is around is that being a Catholic is hard work and it's the saddest way to live. It's the opposite, because we are living in relationship with Christ. And the starting point for this is our present reality, right now. We have to also, and this is almost the last point that I'll make, we have to be aware too that the will of God, or our deepest desire, is not something that God has created us for and then hides from us, and then we've got to try and find it. We often think that there's this big treasure hunt going on. We think, like, there is something that I'm made for. God knows what it is or where it is, and I've got to hide, I've got to try and find it. No, this is not true. What kind of loving parent would do that? It's being presented to us in every moment. One of the hardest things to get people to do when they feel pressured by a decision they have to make is to relax and to know that much more than they want to know what they're created for, God wants them to know. And God will reveal that constantly in unexpected moments and unexpected conversations. And the thing we need to do a lot more is to relax. A few years ago, I became aware that people often struggle with these, what I would call fairly basic ideas. And so I began a website which you can search for called Food for Faith. It's also got a Facebook and a Twitter and an Instagram account associated, Food for Faith. I expect to see the numbers of, I expect to have a lot more friends in a couple of hours than I do now. So Food for Faith. But every 3 or 4 days, I put some kind of encouragement or guidance along these lines there, because in our lives of discernment, keep in mind when I say discernment, I'm not thinking about the big decision we have to make every now and then. I'm talking about a way of living, a way of breathing. We need a lot of support. We need to know that we're not alone. And my hope is that by sharing these reflections, people will get a sense that they are not alone. And my finishing quotation is by quoting two popes in one. And I can do this because at his first homily, Pope Benedict used a thought that Pope John Paul had used. And he said this, and look, if you're not familiar with this, it's really worth going back to. I'll put it on the website in the next couple of days. Pope Benedict says about, he's talking about discernment without using the word, and he's talking about our fear, because one of John Paul's favorite lines was quoting Jesus after the resurrection, "Do not be afraid." Every time he met people, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because we're afraid. And Pope Benedict says this, "Are we not perhaps all afraid in some way? Are we not afraid that if we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us? Are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? Do we not then risk ending up diminished and deprived of our freedom? And Pope Benedict says, no. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. Only in friendship with Christ are the doors of life opened wide. Only in this friendship with Christ is the great potential of your human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. Do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away and he gives you everything. When we give ourselves to Christ, we receive a hundredfold in return. Do not be afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ, and you will find true life.